Welcome to Honey and the Hex. We're a sibling duo exploring the origins, traditions, and intersections of folklore and where they lie today.
We've always been drawn to witchcraft and exploring our roots, so each episode will take you through our learnings of myths, magic, and mystery in English and Scottish folklore.
Death with armor of black, with a ghastly undead horse and a head he did lack. He flew through the sky, exclaiming his name. The headless horseman rides again.
We took that verse from a poem by Niello on allpoetry.com. So, the headless horseman. Should we be straight up and admit that we're obsessed with him?
We are next level obsessed. Mm-hmm. For as long as I can remember, we've been obsessed with the headless horseman.
We had Sleepy Hollow on VHS.
Yeah, literally just playing it on loop. Rewind, let's go again.
Exactly. And it was one of the films that we did actually rewatch over and over again. It was that and The Sixth Sense. Explains a lot.
It does. It says a lot.
It says a lot about who we are as people today.
The thing is, I didn't realise until I was older that we are really true folklore goths in a way.
Exactly.
Because it's like, that was so normal to us. We mm-hmm. were just watching that when we were really, really young, and it was off, like, they were our absolute favourites. And Sleepy Hollow is just an exceptional film, and Tim Burton's one of our favourite directors.
Yeah, definitely. It's just so aesthetically pleasing to my eye. Like, that's, I would want to live in Sleepy Hollow. It's just perfect for me. And with, I'd want to live with Katrina Van Tassel. Oh, and Ichabod Crane.
100%.
Tatum wants to live with the Headless Horseman.
Yeah, literally fancied them all, including the Headless Horseman. And Christina Ricci in those corsets. Oof, it was a lot for my little queer brain to handle.
It was a real sexual awakening for Tatum.
True.
Just leave it there. I really just love the way Johnny Depp says decapitated.
The word decapitated is one of my favourite words. It's just so perfect in the mouth.
I completely agree. Anyway, the film, of course, is inspired by Washington Irving's gothic horror, The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, which was published in 1820. The horseman in this story is the ghost of a Hessian soldier whose head had been decapitated by a stray cannonball. He then returns to the scene of the battle every night in search of his head. Of course, he wasn't the first headless horseman, nor will he be the last.
This is American folklore, so we won't go into it too much, but Irving's story paved the way for many adaptations. Films, books, TV series, even the Smurfs have a Sleepy Hollow. And there's a really good Snickers advert, which is actually quite funny.
Yeah, it's kind of an example of the first American folklore that's like merged with a ghost story. So yeah, like you said, there's many different adaptations, and there's even a Hey Arnold and the Headless Cabbie. I remember watching that when I was young, and there was a few episodes of Hey Arnold that were pretty scary.
There were. Hey Arnold was so good.
That was such a good show.
I loved it.
I love it. And also a newer Sleepy Hollow TV series, which ran from around, I think it was 2014 to 2017.
I did see that, but I haven't watched it.
Tatum, we did watch one episode.
Did
Do you remember when we were living together in Kilburn? It was the day that we were really hungover and our pizza didn't come, and we ordered the pizza.
Why would you bring that up? That was an awful, awful time.
We were literally waiting for this pizza.
We waited for ages. And then suddenly we got, like, we were waiting. We're like, it's fine because a big pizza is going to come. Like, we ordered like a huge pizza. And then we just got a text after waiting like hours saying, we've had to cancel your order. Heartbreaking.
It was really bad. And I still remember, I mean, this is what, 8 years on, and I'm still traumatized by that.
Yeah.
But yeah, we watched one episode and we fell asleep, I think.
Oh, okay.
We'll give it another chance.
The Headless Horseman can be traced back to the Middle Ages, and he's appeared around the world in folklore.
Yeah, he's a busy guy. It's a nice job to have, I guess, galloping around the world. Can I keep my head though?
On to some Scottish lore, finally. We are actually quarter Scottish, but I think it's something that we didn't spend a lot of time in Scotland because our granny, who is full Scottish, lives here. She lives in Stamford. So we do have some family there, but only now as we're getting older, we're exploring that. I went to Scotland for the first time, I think, 2 years ago.
We went when we were really young as well. Can't remember it that much. But now our little sister's living in St. Andrews at uni, so we will definitely be going more.
We're planning a visit when we can go. But yeah, and that's the joy of doing this, because in a way, we're exploring a bit of our heritage and culture through exploring more Scottish folklore.
Exactly. And our mum constantly sang Scottish folk songs to us, which was, so I do feel a connection. So,
can you remember any of the songs?
There's that one,
Yeah.
There's some real nice cover there for everyone.
And we did some Scottish dancing.
Yes, we did. It's very similar to like ballet, really, isn't it? Scottish dancing.
The Headless Horseman haunts the Isle of Mull, which is the second largest island of the Inner Hebrides and lies off the west coast of Scotland in the council area of Argyll and Bute. This story takes us back to the 16th century. It's said that the horseman is a man named Ewan who was decapitated whilst fighting for leadership of his clan. His horse was also decapitated. This was during a battle on the Isle of Mull. He was robbed of his chance to become a chieftain.
Firstly, his poor horse. That's terrible.
What about him and his head? I'm not going to come back to the same thing of why do humans care about animals more than people?
Yeah, sorry, Ewan. But yeah, it was very Battle of the Clans, and Ewan's wife was said to be a greedy and ambitious woman. It's the 16th century, so good for her. She was unhappy with the land that they were gifted by Ewan's father, and she requested that he push for more. But they were denied. Ewan strongly disliked his father, so he was really livid that he didn't get to take leadership from him. So he now plagues the Isle of Mull, seeking revenge for the title he was robbed of. We also have another Scottish horseman, headless of course, in the House of Dun, and here he does not ride alone. This house is said to be crawling with ghosts. I'm just going to speak about this house for a sec, because it's amazing and I want to live there. The House of Dun is a beautiful Georgian mansion in Angus, Scotland. It's situated approximately halfway between the towns of Montrose and Brechin. The house was originally home to the Erskine family from 1375 to 1980. However, archaeological evidence shows us that there were people living there for at least 9,000 years. The property includes the family mausoleum, a Neolithic monument, an ice house, and two walled gardens. And it's now under guardianship of the National Trust for Scotland.
Sounds like a great place to live.
You can actually go there, obviously not at the moment, but we definitely have to go.
And adjacent is the Montrose Basin Nature Reserve, also under National Trust for Scotland, which is really beautiful.
It's crawling with ghosts. There's loads of different ones. Obviously, we are just talking about the horseman today. And there's not actually that much information on this horseman, but it is said that he roams the lanes of Dun at night, seeking retribution on unwary travellers. Who hurt you, hun?
So that's two covered in Scotland. What about what we've got here?
I found a journal by Ian Roger titled The Headless Horseman, An Amateur Inquiry. And this was written in 1965. And it takes us to West Buckinghamshire, to a village and civil parish named Longcrendon. The wife of the author taught at a school there. I'm going to quote directly from the journal now. My wife was teaching at Longcrendon and she came home one day very puzzled. She had asked her pupils, who came from several nearby hamlets as well as from Longcrendon, to write an essay about their village. In four of these essays, from four different villages, the children had ended by saying that their village had a ghost and that it was a headless horseman.
What? So that's wild that there's so many different, like they all have their own version, especially when the villages are actually so close together.
Yeah.
Is that there is one headless horseman who seems to be going through the villages and people perceive him in a different way, or that there are four different villages and they've all got different headless horsemen?
Look, there's plenty of horsemen to go around. Mm-hmm. Don't worry, everyone, you're going to get your own horseman. But the author is actually from Brill, which is 4 miles from Longcrendon. He states that it's important for the reader to note the isolation in which his village was, as a lot of Buckinghamshire had been urbanised at that time. Look, I've looked at photos of Brill. I haven't personally been there, and it's hard to gauge. But, of course, I'm sure a lot has changed, as this journal was written in 1965. But that just gives the vibe of when he was writing from. And he said the stories of the headless horseman were persistent. His grandma told him stories of the horseman in his town of Brill. So guess what he did? He went down the local pub. I'm sorry.
Classic.
He went down the local pub and he found out that actually the horseman was a reality for the village.
Well, that's just 100% folklore, isn't it? Like, literally, that right there is folklore.
Folklore as fuck. Please, can we make FAF happen? It's just us using it.
Stop trying to make FAF happen.
I will make it happen.
Yeah. Well, that's it, isn't it? Folklore is passed down and stories are told in pubs and in your community, and that really keeps it alive. It's the people. I really love this one. As you never hear the Headless Horseman or men of Buckinghamshire, it's always Sleepy Hollow or Brothers Grimm, and those stories are so accessible to everyone via books, the internet, Audible, they're everywhere, really. So that's why we wanted to do this podcast on English and Scottish lore, as everyone should have their stories told and make them popular as well.
Well, exactly. And doing this research, I was amazed at how many headless horsemen I'd never heard of, and in places I've never heard of, even though we live in the UK. But anyway, back to Bucks and Ian Roger. The village of Brill had 5 identifiable horsemen or more, and all with different origins, including a Roman soldier who came from the west from Muswell Hill, where there was a Roman marching camp. That's just up the road.
Oh, that Muswell Hill?
Yeah, I guess so.
That's where I used to live.
Yeah.
Oh, fair.
So he's coming all the way from the west, wow. Not just like close by. Mm. Yeah. There was also more headless horsemen that came from the south and the north and everywhere. They all came into one. But the ones from the south, they would enter the village using a ghostly hearse.
There were lots. The highwayman Dick Turpin, who was actually hung in York for stealing horses in 1739.
Yeah, he's quite an icon, isn't he? There's lots about him.
But it's interesting with this one about him being a headless horseman, because the being hung and the horses, the relevance of the horses is really interesting.
No, definitely.
And also there was a nun.
How did you get there, hun? Nun, hun.
Yeah.
How did you get yourself swept away with these highwaymen?
I don't know.
Poor girl.
When Ian Roger wrote a letter to the Sunday Times and Countryfile to gain information on other horsemen, he couldn't believe the letters he got in return. Brace yourselves. We have headless horsemen, 5 in Sussex, 3 in Hertfordshire, 1 in Gloucestershire, 3 in Oxfordshire, 1 in County Durham, 2 in Devon, 2 in Cornwall, and 3 in Wales. And that was just from the letters he received. So it's all happening, and they're all separate accounts.
That is wild, isn't it? And obviously the ones that we just mentioned in Buckinghamshire, and there's also a more famous one in Wiltshire. It's interesting how we always cover these stories when someone asks for information and they get bombarded with all the different stories, and it's just like, wow, like I didn't even know this was happening, and now I have all this information.
Mm.
So yeah, we are infested with headless horsemen. Sleepy Hollow who? Don't know her.
Let's talk about some potential origins. So the Dullahan in Celtic mythology. Dullahan translates to dark man. He is a harbinger of death and rather malicious. The Dullahan is a manifestation of Crom Dubh, a fertility god. Now Crom Dubh took heads as a form of sacrifice. When his worship came to an end due to the arrival of Christianity in Ireland, he was livid, as he couldn't claim any more heads, and now he still plagues the roads embodied as the Dullahan. Holding his head under his arm, the flesh of his head is decayed.
Oh yeah, it's said that the consistency is like mouldy cheese, so the flesh is like mouldy cheese. To be fair, that's literally me after I skip one night of skincare.
That's gross. Weird.
Who
moldy
was talking
cheese.
About mouldy cheese? Oh yeah, you voice noted me the other day, like, is it fine to eat mouldy mozzarella?
Oh yeah, I was eating mozzarella and I was like, this tastes odd. Is that an issue or is that okay?
Tatum's just the headless horseman of Camden Town.
Yeah, I'm like, shall I keep eating this? Or I could have been eating a head.
I love eating mozzarella like an apple.
Okay, so this is a confession series.
Okay, so just to go over that. In the 6th century, Christian missionaries came to Ireland to stamp out paganism. And this turns Crom Dubh into the Dullahan. So from a pagan god into a more human form. Which means, you know, if they didn't take the pagan gods away, you wouldn't have scary Dullahan riding around Ponder streets.
Wow.
Chopping off heads. And apparently, allegedly, he can just shout out your name and you can just drop dead.
So just left him alone as a god.
Well, he took a few heads, but, you know, he was a little...
He took the necessary amount of heads. And there's also a headless horseman found in India. It's seen in India as more of a heroic deity known as Jahinjahar. These spirits are a result of wrongful death. There's a Rajasthani headless horseman in Shabad, a sub-district in Rajasthan. Men and women encounter Thakur Baba in dreams of visions of a man, often headless, on a horse. There are small roadside shrines with a memorial stone portraying a headless horseman, and the locals whisper to visitors, "This is his area," whilst gesturing to the shrines. He's commonly described there as a Devata Shakti, so a deity force. This specific horseman is called Thakur because he is Rajput, which is warrior caste, and he died in battle, but when his head was cut off, he continued to fight. So actually more of a protector than a killer.
And you can come over here, please. Protect me.
Please protect me.
From my neighbour.
Apologies if I did some mispronunciation there.
You went to Rajasthan, right?
Yeah, I went to Rajasthan. I went to Udaipur and Pushkar. It's an amazing place. It's wild. But what's so interesting about India, and especially Rajasthan, the amount of chaos is met by the amount of tranquility, and they really, the balance of it is... it's hard to even describe.
And I met you in Goa for New Year's Eve and Christmas.
That was so fun.
But that didn't really feel like India, to be honest. But
no, not really.
Some of the markets, but I would definitely go back to India.
Whenever I look into folklore, and especially our folklore, you can see some relevance to Hinduism and the mythology and deities, and they just do it better, in my opinion. Just like there's a lot more going on and a lot more brightness and colours. I guess it all comes down to preference really, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Another origin could be a poem written in the 14th century titled Sir Gawain and the Green Knight, and the author is unknown. I wrote it.
I love it. Really doing your own bit for folklore, aren't you?
You're welcome.
In this poem, two folk motifs are combined, the exchange of winnings and the beheading game. The beheading game in medieval romance would see the players try and decapitate each other.
Ooh, bring that out next time instead of Twister.
No thanks. But it was a lot of that, wasn't it, in that time? It's like, I'll take off your head.
Yeah, exactly. So here's some rewritten spark notes that we had a real good time with. Let's take it back to New Year's Eve, medieval style. The mead is flowing, the lutes are strumming, and everyone's wasted and trying to chop off each other's heads. A real fun time.
There's this big feast at King Arthur's court when an uninvited guest shows up. It's the Green Knight and he wants to play a game. He declares that if someone will accept his challenge and use his own axe to take a blow at him, he will then return a year later to accept a blow himself. Which it's like, why would you do that? Like, really?
Really? King Arthur, oh, he was shook. The audacity of this man. He's lost for words, and the knight mocks his silence. And obviously the king is having none of that and decides to be the knight's opponent. All that mead and wine, hun. You sure you want to hold an axe?
Right. This is where Sir Gawain steps in and takes the axe from the king and chops off the Green Knight's head in a single blow. As the head is rolling around the court, the newly headless knight stands up, grabs his head and rides off whilst chatting away about how he will be back next year for his turn.
Fair enough. That's such a nice party trick. Anyway, they all go back to feasting. No therapy required. There's literally just been a head rolling around.
Like, oh, cool. Oh, I'm going to carry on eating now.
Yeah.
Oh, gives a top up. What?
Anyway, a lot more happens that year and the knight returns for his go. He tries to chop off Sir Gawain's head the first time, but it ain't happening. And by the third time, he just about draws blood.
I'd say that that was fair and that he had his chance, to be honest.
Right.
Anyway, Sir Gawain keeps his head, but because he hadn't been honest earlier that year about his winnings to his aunt, he is still a failure as a man and returns to the castle looking like a loser.
Shame. Shame, shame, shame. Obviously, that was just rewritten for fun by us, but you can read the poem.
By you. Take full credit.
Oh, thanks. that poem, that rewrite was shit.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying it. No, that was all you. That was great.
So yeah, you can see how that would relate to the Headless Horseman. Obviously, there's a knight, he's had his head chopped off, and he's like coming back for revenge in a sort of way. So,
well, that's it, isn't it? The Headless Horseman is a tale of revenge, and that's why you can see this story show up in many places. It's a lesson to say the past will always catch up with you.
Exactly, always. And don't take anyone's head, because they will come for yours.
Yeah.
But yeah, back in the day, everyone's head would just be taken. Mm. That was just, they're just obsessed with it. So
we would have lost our heads.
Oh, 100%. Burnt at the stake. They would have chopped our head off, then burnt us at the stake.
Yeah. So basically, don't steal things. Don't take what isn't yours. Be an honest person. Otherwise, you might lose your head. We wanted to read out some stories in response to our last episode on the Phantom Hitchhiker and say that if you ever have any stories, please send them to us because we would love to share them.
Yeah, just DM us on Instagram. That would be amazing. And we really love hearing all of the stories. So the first story we have is from Holly Ann. It was so exciting to see someone talk about Bluebell Hill. My dad's old friend actually experienced this. He was a total skeptic until he picked up the girl. She asked to be taken home. He asked the address. She told him. And when he arrived, she'd vanished. It wasn't like she could get out because the car only had two doors and she went into the back. The owner of the house said that it was her daughter and that she died several years back. I can ask him for more details to pinpoint times and stuff. And then I said, yeah, I asked for some more details. My dad was about 18 at the time, so he reckons this was in the mid-70s. It was someone he worked with at Burnett and Rolfe Limited in Strood in Kent that had this experience. His friend was coming home late from work on the old Bluebell Hill Road. He saw this girl on the side of the road looking rather distressed. He said that it was concerning because it was a girl on her own at night. He pulled over, rolled down the window and called out, "Is everything okay?" She came to the window and asked, "Can you take me home? I live nearby." So he agreed to take her home. He pulled the seat down so she could climb into the back as it was a two-door Ford Escort. He was driving along, making small chat, but he obviously thought she was anxious and didn't want to speak too much. He looked into the rearview mirror to make sure that she was okay and found out that she'd vanished entirely. He pulled up to the house, worried for her safety, as he couldn't see how she could have got out of the car. He knocked on the door and started to explain, "I've just picked up your daughter." And when the owners of the house looked back at him in shock, they replied, "That's impossible. She died a few years ago in an accident on Bluebell Hill." His friend said after that incident, he became fascinated with the paranormal and started going on ghost hunts.
Oh, that's really creepy. Thank you so much for sharing with us.
We have another one from Holly Savage. My mum has encountered a woman disappearing on the road. She was driving down the hill behind another car, and they both had to swerve to avoid a woman stepping out into the road. They both pulled up, and she got out to check she was all right, and she disappeared. There was nowhere she could have gone, and it was two separate strangers seeing it at the same time.
Oh. Well, definitely keep them coming if you ever have anything to share with us. And also, if you want to leave us a review on Apple as well, we would love to share your reviews and see what you're enjoying about the podcast.
Thank you for joining Honey in the Hex. Subscribe on whichever platform you get your podcasts on.
Connect with us on Instagram at Honey in the Hex. It's a joy to grow our coven, and we're always open to hear what you would like us to cover on the podcast. See you next time.